You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. And so thankful for those of you, by the way, who are leaving reviews. It helps people to find the podcast. It's the most listened to church planting podcast in the world, which we're excited about, largely not because it's the most listened to, but because it's helping a lot of church planters. I can't go anywhere. I just did a recent conference here in the Los Angeles area, and I had several people come up and say that they listen to the podcast. Matter of fact, some of them listen to the podcast, not church planners, and I want to say to them, no, you can't listen to the podcast, you're not church planner. But that's not true. We're giving helpful insights, I think, on all kinds of topics, and today we're going to talk about fostering a multiplication mindset. I think that's going to be a helpful conversation today. I love it when I have an old friend on who knows stuff. I mean, we got people who know stuff who are not old friends, and we got old friends who don't know stuff. But when we have old friends who know stuff, that's always a win. So let me tell you about our guest today. Brad Briscoe is his name. He's director of bivocational church planning for the Send Network. Doctorate in Missional Ecclesiology. I'm not sure that's a real doctorate name, Missional Ecclesiology, but he has one. His doctoral thesis, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute, was on assisting existing congregations to transition to a missional direction. Serves on the national leadership team for Forge America Mission Training Network. Co-author of several books. I had the privilege of endorsing some of them, he's co-author of Missional Essentials, a 12-week small group study guide, which actually I've taken people through. That's an older one. The Missional Quest, Becoming a Church of the Long Run, and finally, The Next Door as It Is in Heaven. Thanks for joining us on the New Churches Podcast, Brad.
And it's always great to be with you. And yes, I am definitely an old friend. So,
well, we've been doing this a long time.
And you don't remember, you actually wrote the foreword for Missional Quest. So just appreciate your support over the years.
That's right. That's right. I did remember that. That's good. And it was good stuff. And so a doctorate in Missional Ecclesiology. Is that a real doctorate? Where'd you get that from?
No, I just made it up.
Where'd you get it from? And tell us about your dissertation.
Well, it's a long story. I won't go through the whole thing, but I was actually going to do a doctorate someplace else at another seminary, and I had someone encourage me to do it at Midwestern, and that was what I was going to do at another seminary. I went to the head of the DMIN department at the time and said, this is the area that I really want to do it in, and he kind of allowed me to craft my own, and that was
You don't hear that much. And that's great. I think it helps people to lean in on some of these issues. So you focused on helping existing congregations transition to a missional mindset, which is such an important thing. I quoted you later in a couple of books that I wrote on some of these issues. So again, for those of you, you know Brad already. I mean, you know he's got a heart and a passion for multiplication. It's written on established churches, a multiplication mindset there, new churches, and more. Of course, our audience is primarily church planners, but as I mentioned, there are people who listen who are not church planners. So help us to think some about, Brad, what a multiplication mindset. I mean, I've heard people say that at conferences, what's a multiplication mindset and why does it matter?
Yeah, so it's funny. There was an ebook. In fact, it's going to come out. I think it's scheduled to be released on May 1st with New Churches, but it's an ebook that I wrote just called Rethink, and it's really about principles towards multiplication. And in the particular lesson or chapter specifically on multiplication, I start with a blog post that you wrote, I think for Christianity Today a few years ago, where you compare the gestation period of elephants versus rabbits. So do you remember writing that?
I do. Yeah, it was at Christianity Today back in the day. And I think I based that. It was the gestation period, how rabbits have quick babies and elephants are the longest, I think, in the mammalian kingdom. But I think it was based on some of the maybe church planning movement conversation. But yes, I do remember. Keep going.
Well, the thing that I thought was interesting about that, and I just used that to kind of start the introduction about multiplication or introduce the concept of multiplication, where if I remember right, you shared that the gestation period for elephants was like 2 years, and then they would have one baby. So in other words, there was very slow addition to the elephant population. But with rabbits, the gestation period is normally about a month, and they can have up to 14 babies. And then the crazy thing about rabbits is they can get pregnant almost immediately. So I think in the blog post you talked about like a year from later, 2 years later, 3 years later, you would have one or two elephants and you would have thousands of rabbits.
That's right.
So I just shared the highlights of your blog post and I just said, look, when it comes to multiplication, we need to start by having, it sounds silly, but we need to have kind of a rabbit mindset. Multiplication mindset is about multiplying. So in that particular ebook, then I go into four just super practical kind of principles to think about. What does it look like to cultivate a multiplication mindset in the church? So let me just share. Here's the four things, and then maybe we can just talk a little bit about this, Ed. I know you'll have thoughts on all of these, but number one, as I said, God's mission must be central. So my point there is just that we have to start by recapturing the missionary nature or essence of the church. We need to understand and remember that we're a sent missionary people. So I feel like a multiplication mindset has to start with God's mission. God's redemptive purposes has to be central. Number two, as I said, that all of God's people are activated. So in other words, everyone not only gets to play, everyone has to play. Like no one gets to sit on the bench. So we need to empower and mobilize and activate all the people of God. Three, as I said, on some level, we need to think more about adaptive leadership and adaptive structures that are really geared towards disciple making and empowerment. So we need to don't fear failure. We need to be able to experiment. We probably need to have more decentralized structures. And then the last one I said is we need to have an emphasis on a pest, but with a special emphasis on the A. In other words, the apostolic ministry. We need to make sure that we're kind of hearing from that voice. So I don't know. So just that particular chapter in the book, I just think a multiplication mindset, we need to think about reproduction. And I think those are some of the principles that ought to be in play.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about APEST in depth because I've got both questions, observations, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I think part of the reality is that one of the things that you have consistently held up is a multiplication mindset is not just the planting of churches, though it certainly is that, but it is a mindset that permeates the totality of the way we think we're multiplying. You know, years ago, I spoke, first time I ever heard this language that I then incorporated, I was at the Wesleyan National meeting, and they wanted me to talk on multiplication, so I prepared a talk on church planting, and they said, no, we want you to talk about how everything needs to multiply, and if I recall, it was disciples, groups, ministries, leaders, and churches. And I love that. And so how do we... and if the first thing you say, you stand up and say, hey, we got to plant another church, but you haven't multiplied a disciple or a group or a ministry, it's kind of jarring to people as well. So how do we get to the place where we're thinking multiplication more consistently?
Well, again, I guess I'd just be repeating myself on some
level. Don't repeat yourself, but give me some more.
So well, I think it has to start with recapturing the missionary nature of the church. That instead of the church being a place where certain things happen, or instead of the church being a vendor of religious goods and services, we need to see that all of us individually, we are a sent missionary.
So individually. But when I hear that, I'm with you. You know I'm with you. But I think of that as an individual. So in other words, I can live sent, to use language that you and I have both used in different books and writing. I can live sent, but I can live sent and not multiply. I can think of myself as a missionary in my context, showing and sharing the love of Jesus, and still not multiply. So I'm with you, but how does that help me see how that relates? I think you were going there and I interrupted you, but help me see how that relates.
No, that's okay. No, well, I think a language or word that I use a lot of times is to apprentice, that we need we need to apprentice each other. So I like what you said just a moment ago, Ed, is that it's not just about multiplying churches. In fact, it probably needs to start by multiplying, as you said, disciples, leaders, and groups, and then we get to multiplying churches. So I think when we think about multiplying disciples and leaders, we need to be thinking about multiplying ourselves, whatever role we have in the church, whatever role we have in mission or ministry, what does it look like to apprentice someone else? What does it look like, in some sense, kind of replace ourselves? So we need to constantly be thinking about how do we multiply what we do, who we are,
and bring others along. I like that idea. I'm going to live on mission, but if the norm is not to live on mission, when I multiply the way people think about mission, that's multiplication as well. Okay, now you really love APEST, and you know I don't love it as much as you do. I think we've talked about this before. I don't love it as much as you and Alan Hirsch do. I don't. You know, so we need to explain it a little bit. So when we talk about APEST, first of all. We're not talking about, you know, we have all kinds of listeners, all different denominations. So Pentecostals might be saying, wait a second, they're talking about apostle, prophet, evangelist, you know, shepherd, a teacher, or pastor. We're not talking about the fourfold or the fivefold restoration in the way that some movements use it, but we're talking about it from a missional orientation. And it's kind of, I have questions, but it's kind of gripped a lot of people with some intense enthusiasm to help people find their place in God's mission. So church planter or pastor, how can that church planter or pastor activate all of God's people for the mission? Talk to us in the realm of APEST. And as famously was once said, explain it to me like I'm five.
Well, first I would say I don't push it too hard. I mean, I do want people to look at the Ephesians 4 passage with new eyes. Yeah. And then just apply the aspects of it that are applicable and helpful for your ministry context. So I don't push it too hard, but I do want to introduce some things about APEST that I think that would be helpful from a church planner perspective. So a couple of things I would say, and I know you know all of this already, Ed, but if I'm talking to someone about APEST for the kind of the very first time, I would say, all right, well, first off, I would say there's a couple of things about the passage that I think we need to take note of. The first one I would say, and I know some people would push back on this a little bit, but I would argue that the Ephesians 4 passage, historically, we've interpreted that as a leadership text, or I would even say, I'll say clergy text. So in other words, we've interpreted that text to say that those gifts, the APEST, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, were given to leaders or clergy of the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And personally, I don't see it as a leadership text anymore. I think it's more of a body text, or it's a ministry text. So these are gifts given to everyone to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So I think that's very helpful. And I think that's part of activating all the people of God, is helping them to see how are they gifted. So if they're a gifted evangelist, then how are they going to equip others to be more evangelistic? If you're a gifted teacher, how are you going to equip others to be better teachers? So I think that's a very important aspect of it.
Okay, but I think that there's an important distinction, because we think of these things. I mean, just normally we think of, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, as, you know, we think of an evangelist as somebody who's a professional clergy, member of the clergy who teaches. So you're saying the congregation, and I'm coming back to this because, I mean, I do think this is what normally people in the missional church conversation use this language as, but for some of you, this is new language. So these are people in the congregation who say, you know, I might be apostolically focused, I might be evangelist focused, I might be shepherd teacher focused. So I might still have a pastor, but that pastor is helping to deploy all these people in their areas of these fivefold gifting. Am I correct?
Okay. And I think, and also to parallel what you just said, Ed, I think it's important for us to recognize, and again, sometimes people will push back on this a little bit, but I'll say just sit in this a little bit, is to recognize these are not roles or offices, they're giftings.
Right.
They're theologically, even functions of the church.
I don't think the apostolic gift exists today. So we would say that there are gifts that there are offices, there are gifts that don't have offices, and offices that no longer exist is what most of us would say. Not everyone would say that. So then these are ways I'm going to live it out. Now, how does that though, and you know, I want you to keep running with it, how does incorporating that into your team lead to the multiplication mindset? So keep explaining APEST a little more and then get to multiplication as well.
Yeah, so then one other thing I'll say that's a really key aspect of the passage, and then I'll share how I like to share this with a church planter, is I think it's really important to recognize that Paul says in this passage that if all five of those gifts are not being exercised, the church will not reach maturity. In fact, he actually says in that passage, the church will not experience the fullness of Christ. So I think it's pretty easy to argue that the church isn't mature, partly, not completely, but partly because the church is operating primarily on two of those five gifts, that the church today is structured by, organized around, and really operated by the shepherd teacher. And for the most part, those with more of an apostolic, prophetic, and evangelistic gift have either been relegated to the margin or they've completely left the church to go start something else, normally a parachurch organization. So I just think it's helpful to recognize that in the passage, Paul says, we need all five. None of these gifts are more important than others. This conversation isn't about diminishing the shepherd teacher. It's about elevating the apostolic, prophetic, and evangelistic giftings. So a lot of times, those are a couple kind of foundational principles I want people to consider. And then to move to super practical when it comes to a church planting team, I like to say there's kind of four sequential steps that I'll walk a planter through. And this is super simple. But I'll say number one is I believe a church planter needs to first understand their own giftings regarding APEST, because their gifting will influence where they focus much of their ministry. So for example, if a planter is a really high T or teacher, they'll often move very quickly to the Sunday gathering so they can teach or preach. Or if they're a very high S or shepherd, then they're going to lean towards the gathered community because they want to care for the flock. And that's okay. It's just good for us to recognize how are we wired, because it will influence where we focus much of our attention. So the first thing I'll say to a planter is identify where you're gifted. Number two is I'll say the planter then needs to understand the makeup of their church planting team and recognize what gifts or gift is missing. So if you're a gifted shepherd, so here's a really practical example. I'll say if you're a gifted shepherd, then you need to ensure that you have someone that's more apostolic on your team, or you're never going to start anything new. You're never going to multiply. If you're just a shepherd, you're going to want to care for that congregation. And that's a good thing. We want that.
We want that.
But you have to have that apostolic person that's going to be pushing the congregation to start new things and to multiply. But I'll say, so it doesn't sound like I'm elevating the apostolic. On the flip side, I'll say, likewise, if you're highly apostolic or prophetic, it's important that you have the voice of a shepherd on your team, or likely you're going to push people too hard and maybe even the risk of burnout. So identify how you're gifted. Find out, kind of analyze your team and recognize what gifts are missing. Then number three, I'd say a planter needs to determine how each gift is going to have equal input into the mission and ministry of the church plant. So again, remember what I said just a minute ago, that if all five of those gifts aren't being activated and exercised, the church will not reach maturity. So you need to say or ask yourself as a team, how are we going to make sure that we're listening to each of the gifts? And there's some things that we can do there, I think, to ensure that. And then the last thing I'll say, the fourth one is the team needs to determine how to ensure the equipping of the saints. So in other words, how are you going to make sure that the gifts are being encouraged and empowered in the lives of the other saints? So like I said earlier, if you're a gifted teacher, how are you going to equip other teachers? If you have the apostolic calling, how are you going to like pour, you know, fuel on the flame of the others sent ones? If you're a gifted evangelist, and how are you going to equip others to exercise their evangelistic calling? So those are just super simple kind of four sequential steps I'll take planters through to make sure that APEST is informing their church planting team.
Good. And what resource, like for some people, the idea of this is all new information to them. And, you know, because we have folks who are very much in the missional church conversation. This is not going to be as new. But, you know, some folks, that's not the world in which they're in. They're planting churches in this way or that way. What's a good primer to read more and lean in on the APEST conversation?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ed. So there's actually four or five resources out there, and I'll usually try to kind of find where people are in this conversation. If they aren't familiar with it at all, I've actually put together just a real simple little white paper. It's like 8 pages long. It's just a basic introduction to all of this.
We'll put that in the show notes. If you're listening, go to the show notes. You can find this as well.
And then I'll say beyond that, you know, if you want to go deeper, I'll say, you know, Alan Hirsch's The Forgotten Ways, chapter 8 of that book, he digs into APEST. J.R. Woodward and Dan White have written a great book called The Church's Movement, where they dig into that. Alan and Tim Ketchum run another book called The Permanent Revolution that's really just about the apostolic ministry of APEST. And then I'll say Alan's 5Q, if you're really kind of geeky and you really want to, you know, go into the rabbit hole, 5Q. And then Neil Cole wrote a book called Primal Fire. Peyton Jones wrote a book called Church Zero. All of those books speak to the importance of APEST, and especially as it relates to church planting.
Yeah, and I think it's probably worth noting for those who this is new language to. This is something that a lot of people, if you go to a big conference today, you'll hear somebody just casually mention APES, and you'll have to, what is that? You know, and so or there's a thing, release the ape, you know, the apostolic prophetic evangelist. And again, you can tell for me, you know, I'm of the view that there's something important here. I may not be of the view that I would frame it as organizationally categorical as some of my friends and colleagues do, and that's okay. But it's us learning from one another as well. So last thought from you, I need to know how, again, help me think in terms of this multiplication mindset. You obviously think APEST is going to be really key to a multiplication mindset. So what are some first steps church planner can take in that multiplication mindset related to APEST? Bring those together for us and make that our last comment.
Well, there'd be a couple of things I would say kind of relating to and maybe kind of paralleling APEST. The first thing, and this is connected, but I say there's a couple other things as it relates to really creating a multiplication culture. I think stories are huge. I think we need to ask ourselves, what are the stories that we're telling? What are we celebrating? You know, are we celebrating the stories around the shepherd teacher, or are we telling stories of people that are more apostolic and prophetic, and they're actually engaging in God's mission outside the walls of the church? So I think the stories you tell are huge. I think language is also important. And of course, introducing APEST language and introducing the sentness nature of the church, there's lots of things around language. But then maybe the most important aspect to create a multiplication culture, I think, is probably around the idea of scorecards. So in other words, what are you counting and what are you measuring? Like, how are you defining success? You know, is it just by how many people are showing up on Sunday morning and how much money they give, or are you counting and measuring engagement that people are having outside the walls of the church? So I think all of those can relate to APEST, but if you really want to create a multiplication culture in your church, think about stories, language, and scorecards.
Brad Briscoe, missional provocateur in good, important conversation. Stay with us as we continue through our series here at the New Churches Podcast. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.